Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, we got lots to get to today. Of course, it's 9/11. We remember that tragic, terrible day. I hate talking about this. I hate thinking about it. But that's today. And we'll get to President Trump. We'll get to the story of the century. John Bolton. This is the, if you watch fake news, this is the most important thing in the world. Who's going to tell him that nobody cares about this? This doesn't mean anything to anybody anywhere. We'll get to crazy Chuck Schumer. We'll get to the Apple new products that came out. We'll get to all of that. We'll get to guns. We'll get to China and North Carolina and more. So it's 18 years since 9/11. The president is speaking at Arlington, at the Pentagon, actually.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
What was the mistake he made?
He said when the World Trade Center towers were attacked the first time, first plane, they thought it might have been a boiler.
Okay, he's confusing two things. There was the 93 World Trade Center attack.
Correct.
And 2001 World Trade Center. So in the 93 attack, when they first broke the news on Channel 2, do you know who the local anchor was on Channel 2? His name was Brian Williams.
Oh, really?
He hadn't gone to NBC yet. He did the noon news. He wasn't even that big for the 6 o'clock news yet. He did the noon news, and he broke in with it. And I think he ended up staying there till like 6 o'clock.
Right. Yeah.
But they originally thought it was a boiler fire. So the president has confused two things. It's somewhere in the speech he said he thought it was a boiler fire. You will be hearing about this for a week. I just want you to think about this. Joe Biden is bumping into walls. Can't remember his name. Doesn't know where he is. Makes the worst gaffes in the world. No mention anywhere in the New York Times, the Washington Post. This Trump gaffe of confusing two things. They will be examining his mental health. They will have teams of psychiatrists to say what's wrong with him.
Well, here's the other thing. I mean, that speech obviously was written. He's reading it because you can tell when he's ad-libbing. He's a different person. So that's got to be in a script, or do you think he went off script?
I think he went off script. Sometimes he does that because you can tell. When he reads the speech, it's very formally worded. And then sometimes, even though he's in the same reading tone of voice, the words aren't some... Like, at one point in the speech, he said, I went down there with some guys that worked for me. The speechwriter didn't write it.
Yeah.
So, sometimes he's going off the script, so he remembered the boiler fire. But don't worry about it. The big issue, and I think this is the thing we must be concerned about, is this John Bolton. This is, I'm watching fake news, Morning Swamp.
Wait, this chaos, Mark.
This is the worst. This is the, who's going to explain to fake news that nobody in America cares if John Bolton works there? They didn't even remember that he was working there. They sort of know the guy with the big mustache. So they don't, okay. Nobody cares. He's working there, not working there.
But who's advising the president?
They think that in the White House, this one guy with the big mustache, you have to call him and he tells you what to... he's the National Security Advisor. There's like 15 deputy National Security Advisors that Trump loves. There's like 42,000 people in this department. Pence has a team of National Security Advisors. Actually, Pence, his National Security Advisor is Keith Kellogg. Keep an eye on that guy. Trump likes him. He might get the job.
But Trump never got along with Bolton anyway, right?
He never liked Bolton.
Yeah.
Bolton couldn't, you know, the real reason he brought in Bolton, was known as a crazy, let's go to war, let's nuke them, he thought it might be useful to have him there in the White House, that it might scare some people. He was negotiating with North Korea, he was trying to do something with Iran, so he thought if Bolton was there, it might worry them a little. Hey, this Bolton might want to nuke us, this Bolton might, he's a real hawk, he might go to war, it might, but... how long was Bolton there?
17 months.
17 months. But after 17 months, everybody figured out it was just a trick, and word was leaking out everywhere. Bolton wasn't even in the meetings. He wasn't listening to Bolton, didn't agree with Bolton or anything. So nobody was afraid of Bolton anymore. So he served no purpose anymore. His only purpose was to frighten people, and that wasn't working. So he's gone. So all this means, this has happened with several people. They're big Fox News contributors. They have a contract with Fox. You know, you get like $1 million a year to be the contributor.
Mm-hmm.
You leave, you go to the White House, then you're gone. Now you come back and you're like begging for your job back. It's great. This is the greatest thing ever for Fox. Because now, well, you know, okay, we'll give you $200,000 this time. So,
oh, they don't come back for more
money?
Well,
you know, when you leave and you storm out of there, you come back. They don't say, okay, here's your old contract back. That's now true. They got some leverage to get you cheaper. So this all might be a plot from the president to hire the contributors, then let them go, and they all come back to Fox at half price. That might be the purpose of all this. So, but Bolton, nice guy, although I always found him kind of weird. Little short guy, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You didn't come across a short.
Yeah, a little small guy with big walrus mustache.
Certainly and, liked wars, I know that.
Yeah, although he was quite the progressive. He was really a left-wing guy. He was, on a lot of things. And the president never agreed with him on anything. He always thought, the president has this thing, he's like George Steinbrenner. They were good friends. He's a lot like George Steinbrenner. Steinbrenner had this thing about beards and mustaches. He did not approve of them. He did not like them. Remember, you couldn't have a mustache or a beard on the Yankees.
That's right, yeah.
For a lot of years. Who was that player? Spring training showed up with a beard.
Well, Johnny Damon, a guy came from the Red Sox. I mean, he had a long hair and a beard.
Well, by then he was allowing it. He had to. But this was like in the 70s.
No, Damon cleaned up for the Yankees.
Oh, okay. But there was a guy in the 70s who wouldn't shave it in spring training. And he said, Jesus Christ had a beard.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
And Steinbrenner pointed to the lake. He goes, okay, walk across that lake. Let me see you walk across it. You keep your beard. So Bolton is good. That's why he wouldn't hire Bolton. Everybody kept pushing for Bolton. But he said, I don't like the mustache. He even interviewed Bolton at one point in the beginning. He just didn't like that mustache. Couldn't get past that. So there's a lot of guys that are pretty close to getting this. Major General Rick, what's this guy's name? Rick Wendell Waddell. Keep an eye on him. Trump likes him. He may get the job. Now I'm reading all the fake news. You see the New York Times, Washington Post, they'll do like 30-page looks at what really happened with Bolton. The timeline doesn't match up. He said he fired Bolton, but Bolton said this. You ever see
this is ridiculous. I know it.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Fake news. Listen to me. There's nobody in America that even knew Bolton was working there. They don't care. They don't. All they know is, oh, the guy with the mustache from Fox. That's all they know. Nobody cares about this. It means nothing to anybody. So, we always tell you about the fake polls, these fake polls. I don't know what they think the point of this is. They did this in 2016. They rigged the polls by taking Republicans down to a small percentage in the sample. They don't use the actual voting public, the likely voters. They use registered voters, which means you can just ask anybody. And they're always fake. So look at North Carolina, where the Democrat was poised to win. There's no way the Republican could win. And, of course, the Republican wins big. President Trump flew down there to save the guy and campaign for him. And he looks like, President Trump looks like an incredible hero. Like he reversed the whole thing by 17 points by going down there.
That guy was 17 points behind with 3 weeks to go.
Yeah, but he wasn't really. I'm just telling you, he's probably 4 points behind and Trump helped him. That's what I'm telling you, these fake polls. I don't know what they think is the strategy of that. It actually cost Hillary the election. Because believe it or not, and I've never heard of this, no one had ever heard of this, her campaign guy, Robbie Mook, didn't pay for any polling. He relied on the public polls.
That's smart.
So they thought they had Michigan, they thought they had Pennsylvania, they thought they had Wisconsin. Even if you weren't paying for any polls, Trump had John McLaughlin, the world's greatest pollster. When they saw Trump get on a plane 17 times and fly back to Michigan, they should have realized he's obviously seen something in this polling. So these fake polls, just don't listen to them. In fact, every Republican in North Carolina cleaned up yesterday. Big victory. The fake polls totally
but not
wrong.
By large margins.
Yeah,
they're slipping.
I'm going to give you this other thing now. Now that you're going to hear this today. Even though they won big, they slipped in suburban voters. It's clear they're going to have a problem with suburban voters. They always tell you this. Suburban women are very turned off. This is no truth to this. More fake polls. They did that one in, was it Connecticut, with the suburban women?
Mm-hmm.
How they turned on them. So we looked into that poll. It was 36 women, 35 of them Democrat Trump haters. That's who they surveyed. Today's the beginning of the impeachment hearings. Not the hearings. What do you call this? It's like the committee meeting.
It's the beginning of the whole impeachment process.
It's the beginning. The Judiciary Committee, they're meeting, and when pushed to explain, Nadler said, it's the beginning of the impeachment, but what it actually is, they've admitted this, they're meeting to set the terms of the investigation into what they should look at In other words, they have nothing to impeach him on. Hmm. They're going to have to go try to find something. So they're pretty much admitting that they're meeting to set the terms of where the investigation should go. In other words, they don't have anything. They got to go look for something. It's the most.
So we need to find something to investigate.
Yeah. They're admitting there's nothing impeachable. Obstruction is pretty much off the table now. Obviously, it was Russia. It turned out there was no Russia, anything. It was a hoax. Then they kept talking obstruction. They've been meeting with lawyers. They've brought in all kinds of top lawyers who've explained to them you need three basic requirements for obstruction. One, it has to be knowingly committing obstruction. That's impossible because the president obviously knew there was no Russian collusion. So he couldn't knowingly obstruct. He knew there was nothing to obstruct. The other thing is it can't be anything that's within your guidelines of your job. In other words, it's in the job that you can do this, it can't be obstruction. And the president can fire the FBI director at any time. The third requirement for obstruction, it must be covert. You must do it privately. In other words, you can't do it open in the public. And obviously the firing of Comey was a very open public thing. So lawyers have explained to him obstruction is impossible. So that's gone. Now, to look at this emollients clause violation, which is totally fake, but they are probably going to be aware, as I explained to you yesterday, that two court cases on this already, different crazy left-wing groups have taken the president into court for violating the emollients clause, and both courts have tossed the case out, saying there's clearly nothing here, this is frivolous. So Nadler is probably aware of that. So I don't know what they're going to find. The Sharpie thing is still pretty hot.
That's, yeah. Yep. Falsifying a weather forecast.
Yeah. He didn't falsify it because that was exactly what the original chart said. He recreated the original chart. That's not a big impeachment charge. Instead of getting the original chart, he drew a line and said, here's what the original chart showed. I don't know if that's impeachable. They do still have that thing about when he called him Tim Apple instead of Tim Cook.
Yeah.
He could use that, maybe.
Is that a crime?
No, clearly a mental illness.
Oh, okay.
Impeach him. So I don't know. He's tweeting out this meme, you know, this Trump 2020 banner.
Yeah.
But he's tweeted one out, Trump 2024.
Yeah, I know. He mentioned that in North Carolina
the
other day.
And everybody's tweeting this all over the place. I don't quite know what that...
You know what it was? It was in the speech. He said he had negotiated the World Cup soccer tournament to be played in the U.S. He said, the only problem is, it's 2026 and I won't be president. I need a third term.
He will be. Hey, Bloomberg did it.
He can't do that.
Bloomberg did it.
Yeah, well, he changed the Constitution.
Changed the Constitution. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Trump 2024. Hey, you just get Don Jr. to run, then you still got yourself a Trump 2024.
Now you're getting a little crazy, Mark.
Don Jr.'s out in the campaign trail every day. Forget Ivanka. She couldn't win anything. But that Don Jr., you never know. Tomorrow night is the debate. Biden has to do something to stay alive. If Biden doesn't come through big tomorrow, he's finished. Elizabeth Warren doesn't have to do much. All she has to do is look like a good. She wants to stay in second place for a while. Biden's not going to make it, so she just wants to stay in second place, be in second place when he drops out. So she just has to hang in there. Kamala Harris is pretty much gone. She's going to have to do something to make a dazzling comeback. Otherwise, that's it for her. Who's he? Buttigieg.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to drop that Pastor Pete, that Preacher Pete, that St. Buttigieg act and start acting like a real person. Who else is in there? Cory Booker. Nice guy. Not the brightest guy in the world, but a nice guy.
He's not going to rise to the
top. He's just there to be a nice guy. And they love that Beto O'Rourke. He's just like the San Diego chicken, just, you know, like a halftime. In between innings, entertain everybody. That's all he's there for. Who else you got?
Julian Castro.
Not going any place. But he's Hispanic. They need a Hispanic guy.
Andrew Yang, the crazy guy?
Well, he's not that crazy. He has no shot at this. For this, he's crazy. But he's just a tech guy. He made a lot of money in tech. And that's what he does. He's an innovative tech guy. So he comes up with these things. In the first debate, he said, I'll give $1,000 to every American. It's an innovative tech
thing. Yeah.
So, you know, that's what those guys do. It's like when Steve Jobs said, you'll be able to play music on your phone. Nobody knew what he was talking about.
See, maybe we should take a look at this guy.
Yeah. Well, he's just an interesting guy. So We'll get to the new Apple stuff. We'll go over that in a minute. Check out the webpage. Now, do you remember all the controversy about Donald Trump? He said there were people cheering on 9/11.
Yeah.
Okay, that's absolutely true. And there were TV reports about it. So go to the webpage. You got two clips. One is Channel 2 News covering the people cheering in New Jersey. You might remember the correspondent, Pablo Guzman.
I do, yeah. I also think that was like a suspect report. I don't think he had...
Well, maybe later.
Yeah.
They might have said it turned out, I think it wasn't 1,000, it was like 10.
Yeah.
But later question report. But the president was absolutely right that he was watching TV and saw people cheering in New Jersey. Here's the actual video. You can see it on the webpage. And then also with it is Dan Rather. That night he's on the Letterman show and he's talking about the report of people cheering in New Jersey. So it was all over television. The president is absolutely right when he says, I saw it on TV. He did. And CBS News reported it. I don't think, they're the ones that are crazy. He's crazy. How could he say that? They're the ones. Watch it. It's on the webpage. Anybody wants to argue with you, send them the video. Also, you want to see the new iPhone Pro? If you missed the presentation yesterday, here's a condensed, like, 3-minute version. You can see the new iPhone Pro. You're not too excited?
No, it looks just like the one I have.
No, it does. It looks nothing like it. The camera lens is bigger than
the
phone. Oh,
okay. The camera lens a little bit.
And then watch this. This is a great video. Here was the top smartphone in the world the day before the iPhone. Look at it now and look how primitive it looked. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Listen to what you missed whenever you want. It's Mark Simone on demand. Catch his podcasts at 710WOR.com/Mark. Mr. New York, Mark Simone. On 710WOR.
Well, let's take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Let's go to Tom in Pennsylvania. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Mark. How you doing? The reason why I was calling, Mark, is that I lived in Brooklyn Heights on 9/11, and in addition to the...
Oh, I hear the thick Brooklyn accent.
I'm from Chicago.
I know, I can tell.
Last time. Anyway, in addition to hearing the plane's impact on the buildings, the second most shocking thing to me and my wife was when the ash was falling in Brooklyn Heights, we went out to get a calling card to call her mother and in another country. And as the ash is falling, we're walking on Atlantic Avenue between Clark and Henry Streets. And we see up on the buildings, there's a large Yemen population there. And up on the buildings, no doubt, Mark, there were several teenage guys, maybe 19, 20, up on the building, up on the roof.
Cheering.
Celebrating and cheering. Yeah. Absolutely, 100%. It happened. And not only that, Mark, I got to tell you, and living in Brooklyn Heights down there, further down on State Street, and then further down on Atlantic, they busted those guys for, like, laundering millions and millions of dollars. And then further down on State Street, there was a mosque that was a hornet's nest, man.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on there. You know, there were people cheering. You know, you could debate it wasn't thousands, it was dozens, but there were people cheering. I remember reporting all of that right after 9/11. And then it sort of got covered up. And then I heard from a Newark police officials who said that their officers not only reported, they wrote it up, and it was in the Newark police files somewhere, in Newark, other towns. And again, if you go to our webpage today, Channel 2 News, Pablo Guzman was the reporter, reported on the cheering on rooftops as after the planes hit. Dan Rather mentioned it on the Letterman show. There were many reports. So when people say, I saw it on TV, they did. The video exists. Let's go to Dave in Chicago. Hey, Dave.
Yes, good morning, Mark. Regarding Hurricane Dorian, we all know it was a Category 5, which is the absolute worst. Do you think that this is going to be the new normal?
No, not at all. In fact, didn't we have less hurricanes last year than most years? No, there's no normal. You know, it's a climate. Climate changes. It changes this way. It changes that way. There is some climate change now in this direction. But remember, you got the same exact climate change on Jupiter, Pluto, Mars, and Venus. So it indicates change in solar pattern and not much else. Let's go to Bill in Vernon, New Jersey. Hey, Bill.
How you doing? This 9/11 story. One of my co-workers, her husband was...
Oh, no, we don't want any depressing stories. This is not going to be a tragic story, is it?
No, it's not a tragic one, but it's just a a realistic one. And after 3 days on the pile, they sent him home, rest. And she had him even at the door with a hose because he wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I know. It was very, very bad. You had to do all that. It was just horrible. That's why we don't want to talk about all that and bring that all up. It's just awful. I don't know. You know, it'd be interesting to check on Pearl Harbor. Like, how many years later were they spending the whole day remembering? And obviously, I think if you went there now, it's a small ceremony every year. But you know what's interesting? This is going to shock you, but there is not a student in any school, grade school, high school, middle school, not a student in any of these schools that was alive on 9/11. Although, actually, it might be possible. There could be seniors, or maybe kids like me that were held back like 5 years. If you're kind of dumb and you're 23 and you're still in the 12th grade, maybe. But it's interesting. Let's say up to grade 11.
Yeah.
Not one of them was alive during 9/11.
No, I mean, even if they were, they'd have to be one.
Yeah, and if you go back to, I'm trying to remember, what did we have for a phone? We just had regular flip phones, cell phones, like Motorola phones back then. I don't even think we had the Palm Trio yet.
No.
And certainly nobody had cameras. I mean, they had cameras in some phones, but most phones didn't have cameras yet.
That's right.
So if it were the iPhone world where everybody had video in the camera, we would have seen a lot
There would have been a lot more video, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of which, the new iPhones yesterday, the iPhone that you have now, there's going to be three new iPhones. The iPhone 11, three versions of that, the big one, the not-so-big one, and the cheaper one. Then there's something else, the iPhone Pro. That's going to be beyond the iPhone 11. The iPhone Pro will have the greatest camera ever, the fastest everything, the biggest battery, the whole thing. Joe Bartlett is not going to be getting one, I would guess.
Yeah, this is fine.
Yeah, that iPhone 4 does the job. No, but the iPhone Pro, it has a slightly different matte finish to it. I guess they were implying you won't need the case anymore. It's got the most shatter-resistant glass ever and a special matte finish case. It comes in, I think, three colors. They seem to be pushing the green. It's like a Army Jeep green. Well, I don't know. It looks they use it in all the pictures, so I haven't seen them in real life yet. But generally, whatever they, it's like the car ads. Whatever color they're using in the ads, that's probably the best color.
Probably tested very well for them.
So there's also a new iPad that's incredible. There's a new this. Everything's upgraded. The watch, the Apple Watch 5, looks pretty amazing. There's a new Hermes version. And
how much does that cost?
That starts at $1,500. Well, it's got the Hermes strap, and they kept explaining it's done by Hermes. We did this with Hermes. It's coordinated with Hermes. And every millennial tech kid in the audience is going, what the hell's on Hermes? I've never heard of this company. I don't know what it is. It's like partnering with Chanel and then trying to sell this to 22-year-old techies. They never heard of this brand. They don't. When we come back, Michael Graham, the great columnist, writer, talk show host, will be with us in just a moment.
Mark Simone.
On the Voice of New York.
710 WOR.
Well, Michael Graham's a great talk show host and a great podcast and great columnist. And you should go to his website. You should go to michaelgraham.com. You can get everything there. Get his latest columns. Michael Graham, how you doing?
I am thrilled to be alive, although I want you to settle something for me. So yes. I'm the politics editor at New Hampshire Journal. It's one of my many hats. And every time someone drops out of the Democratic race, or I guess now Democratic and Republican race, now that we've got Mark Sanford and Jill Walsh, we create these little 2020 epitaphs for them, little gravestones for the, not for the candidate, for the campaign, of course. And so when Howard Schultz dropped out, I was torn between, I ordered a Venti victory and got a Grande loser, which I thought was pretty good, or he didn't know beans about running for president.
Or he's just an incompetent idiot that everybody hates.
No. It's supposed to be an epitaph. Yeah, well, I thought the perfect one when your U.S. Senator, Kirsten Gillibrand, dropped out because of the way she ran her campaign was, me too? Yeah, you have to go too, lady. Sorry. So.
Hey, nobody knows New Hampshire better than you. What the hell? Why do they like Elizabeth Warren up there?
Well, I mean, so when you say they like Elizabeth Warren, what you're saying is that, you know, in the polls, she's cruising around with 25% support among Democrats.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting. Politico stopped 100 of the delegates at that big show that you saw on TV last weekend. I was there, by the way. And asked them, so of the big three, who would you want? And Warren was overwhelmingly the choice of the delegates. Well, think about that. Who's a political party delegate? You know, it's the nerds, it's the geeks, it's the, if you've seen the movie Election, which I think is absolutely terrific with Matthew Broderick, you know, it's the Tracy Flicks, and they love Warren. My question is, do the average voters, do the Democrats who would never join anything, you know what I mean? But they do show up and vote. Where are they? Because a brand new Emerson poll shows that while Warren is on the upsurge, she's, you know, right on Biden's tail, et cetera, she was the only one of the candidates who in head-to-head polling loses in New Hampshire to Donald Trump. Huh. All of the time. Andrew Yang, the Oprah Winfrey of Democratic politics, you get $1,000 and you get $1,000. Even Yang was crushing Trump by like 10 points, but Warren, you know, lost to him by 2. And I think that shows that there really is a gap between the party elites and the rank and file voters that the Democrats are going to have to figure out how they're going to, you know, how they're going to navigate that.
Yeah. Yeah. Last time I was in New Hampshire a million years ago, it was all these old New Englanders making maple syrup and all that. But is it now overrun with these Cambridge Ivy League idiots? And
well, first of all of New England has been trending bluer over the years. Trivia question stump before you. The last Republican to win New Hampshire for president was?
George H.W. Bush.
Wrong. Good guess, though. It was W.
Uh-oh.
But what's interesting is W won in 2000, which is the close race. In fact, it's the reason why we had the Florida recount is because he got those 4 Electoral College votes from New Hampshire. But then he lost 4 years later when he was theoretically more popular. And that's a sign of the trend that the Republican brand is just on its way down in New England.
You got to put
the Republican brand.
You got to put an asterisk on that. He was running against Kerry, and that New Hampshire's like a home state for Kerry.
If you look at the trend, the trend is straight across that New Hampshire has not gone Republican since. In fact, the person who came closest was Donald Trump, which is, I think, is absolutely fascinating. Here's another one for you. Every presidential year, if you count the Northeast as New England plus New York and New Jersey, 40%. Of voters, 39 point something, vote Republican, no matter who the candidate is, whether it's Bush, whether it's, you know, moderate Romney, whether it's freak show Trump, doesn't matter. 39 point something percent of voters vote Republican year in and year out. You would never know that if you watch the media, if you listen to anything other than your terrific show, Mark. If you're listening,
yes, and you'll notice the
radio, blah blah blah.
You'll notice the fake polls put Republicans at either 23 or 24% in all of their samples.
Mm-hmm. So, well, the registered Republican, as opposed, you know, and this is the tricky thing about polling is more and more people are declining to support either party, and so they're still voting the way they voted before,
yeah.
They won't register the way they registered. I don't know if you saw the new numbers from yesterday or day before. A year ago, Democrats had a 7-point generic ballot advantage. They were 7 points more popular as a party than Republicans. Yeah. Today, tied. The good news is they're tied. The bad news is because everyone hates Democrats now as much as they hated Republicans. Republicans have not gone up. Democrats have gone down, which, of course, is the entire Donald Trump strategy for this election, is just drive the Democrats down, because he knows he's trying to get his numbers up. He's going to peak around 46, if he's lucky, 47%, and he's just going to have to make that work. Yeah. It's fascinating to watch, man.
Hey, check out michaelgraham.com. You can get his columns there and everything there. Michael Graham, what is going on? Is there a new Kennedy in the race in Massachusetts? Are we ever going to be done with these Kennedys?
Well, you know, you can sort of argue that you have been done for a while, because I thought it was interesting. Someone pointed out to me that there was no intermediate generation between the Teddy, JFK, RFK generation, and now that you have Joseph P. Kennedy III, JPK3, as we call him up here, running for Senate, and he's running against, he's basically pulling an AOC. You got this long, think about this, just amazes me. This guy, Ed Markey, his first elected office in the state ledge was 1972. He was celebrating the same night Nixon was celebrating getting reelected. 4 years later, he goes to Congress. 76, Jimmy Carter. The guy's been in Congress nonstop. And yet the poll last week showed that two-thirds of Massachusetts Democrats either don't like him or don't know enough about him to have an opinion. His number one answer was, who is he? 70 freaking six. And so everyone, so what's happening here, it's the same thing. The elites are trying to rally around him and not Kennedy because he is such a far left. He's the only person with a far lefter ranking than him is Elizabeth Warren. He's the, I don't know if you saw that Green New Deal presser with AOC. Yeah. He was the goofy looking lost white haired guy next to her. So he is super hardcore, you know, big government. You know, he wants the government to own Facebook and Google. He wants Green New Deal. And so all the activists love him because he doesn't think or cut. He just votes straight down nut job. They're afraid that this is how crazy Massachusetts is, man. Kennedy is running as the moderate. Kennedy is the moderate.
Well,
that's how far lost we are.
Is Massachusetts crazy, or is it really just the Boston, Cambridge, that area where all the population
is? No, it's Massachusetts. It's crazy. When you go out to the Western Mass, you got hippies out in the mountains by the New York border, and then you got the loonies in the corridors of power. Then you got the activist identity politics, Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, et cetera. The Boston Herald, where I write a column, we had this controversy about the state government. The legislators had to stay late working on the budget, so they bought several thousand dollars worth of Chinese food for themselves. So the Herald got the bill, and they charged it all to the taxpayers. So we thought that was pretty interesting. So the front page had a picture of just a Chinese food box. We got attacked. Racism. It's a story about Chinese food that had a Chinese food box on it. And they didn't like it. Was like something like walking tall. We had it walking tall. Yeah. That was hate. That was hate. Massachusetts, the kind of people who would be upset by a picture of Chinese food.
I hate to say we're out of time, but always great stuff from Michael Graham. Check out you can get his columns, everything at michaelgraham.com.
Michaelgraham.com.
Thanks for being with us. Take care. And everybody, check out the webpage. We got some great stuff up there. Hey, there were people cheering on 9/11. Remember Donald Trump said, I saw it on TV? He did. Here's the video. Here's the Channel 2 news report showing that. And then there's also another. Here's Dan Rather on the Letterman show talking about it. Also, watch the day before the iPhone was invented. What was the best smartphone on Earth? Look at the video. Look how primitive it looks now. Also, you want to see the new iPhone Pro? Here's a video that'll show it to you. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark.